Will Grambaugh, editor of the Soper Sun, Carbondale's nonprofit weekly newspaper, is my next guest. Thanks for joining me this afternoon, Will.
Thanks for having me, Gavin.
Gosh, I miss having you here in the booth with me, but hopefully we're not too far off from that again.
No, and we're only a few blocks away.
I know. I thought about having you come stand outside the window just so we could see each other. You know, body language. So let me start by complimenting you on the latest issue of the Soper Sun, out today on newsstands and online at SoperSun.com. What are a few of the headlines for folks who haven't seen it yet that people can read a bit more about in this week's issue?
Well, thank you, Gavin, for the compliment. It is it's been a little weird. It's our first 12-pager in quite a while, but we're trying to keep it conservative these days. And, you know, coming on the heels of actually getting the Mother's Day edition out, I'm taking a lot of satisfaction and just still being here in print. I would say that probably the two biggest stories, at least as far as COVID-19 is related, were we sort of did an update on travel requirements and tried to folks about the 10-mile recreation rule, which I think is not getting followed very strictly. Both folks from around here, I've heard a lot of folks traveling, going west or heading to the desert.
And, yeah, I know two friends who've been in Moab in the past 2 weeks, which I didn't understand that was encouraged.
It's not only not encouraged, I'm fairly certain that Grand County is not welcoming visitors quite yet. And you're not even supposed to camp out there, and the motels aren't supposed to let you in. So I'm not quite sure how folks are making that work, but I certainly understand the temptation. I wish I was having some Utah time myself. But so that's very much not within the restrictions. And then it seems like there's also folks up here that are not from around these parts. So
well, that was interesting.
Just sort of wanted to...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
It was interesting just to see the perspective of Jim and Cheryl Hawkins, Four Mile Creek Bed and Breakfast, longtime supporters of KD&K. But, you know, I was as soon as I saw that they were mentioned, I thought, well, they always have something smart to say. This will be good. But to my surprise, they basically said they support how things are going, even though it's a big hit to their business. And, you know, that's one of those interesting, tough things where business owners are hurting from this, but also care about the health of their community.
Well, and their own health. I think that's a really weird position to be in as a business owner is how do I keep myself and if I have any staff, them safe, while also realizing that at some point you need the income. We live in a society in which our ability to survive and thrive is all based on our ability to work, and we're sort of coming up against the limitations of that. And the same thing goes with recreation. I mean, that goes into the thriving too. How do we stay close to home and still keep our heads on straight? It's getting real nice. You know, May is an easier month to be outside here in Colorado than April or March. So hopefully that will help. But I do think, I guess my advice, I didn't write the story, James did, but my advice on that subject is, hey, if you don't want every tourist from the Front Range coming here, maybe you should not go someplace else that that has a minimal, health infrastructure and overwhelmed search and rescue teams and kind of pay it forward that way.
And then your other big story for this week?
Well, I would say that the wildfire, I got up to the site of the Thompson Creek fire this time last week, and then Kathleen did a nice piece on sort of the challenges that this fire season sort of presents for firefighters, both because of their ability to social distance on a call, and also the probable higher impact on the outdoors than maybe we've seen in the past. So it was really interesting. That fire up Thompson Creek was in a pretty remote neck of that area, the kind of place that you do not get to unless you either know your way around or are really desperate to go down every little side path and find a place to camp. So they were within their rights to be camping. Dispersed camping is still allowed, if not quite encouraged. Certainly weren't supposed to have a a campfire in the first place, and you're generally supposed to douse those things.
Come on, people.
Well, especially when you're camping 15 feet from a stock pond, I was a little surprised by that. But
so no info on the culprits.
No, they are launching an investigation. There's some evidence up there. Whoever camped appears to have driven in, whereas the firefighters, because they were coming in at dusk and a couple, maybe a day after it started, because it wasn't reported till later, had to hike in at first and then were on ATVs. So kind of a lot of work for them to clean up that mess. It didn't really threaten any structures and it caused damage to a lot of trees and bushes and probably animal habitat. But,
right.
No real human harm done except for a lot of people who had to be in close proximity cutting down snags and building fire line for several days, which is just maybe something we should try to spare them as much as possible this year.
Yeah, I mean, those 15 firefighters did not need to be up there if this person would have doused. So.
No, and, a helicopter to run back and forth to Lake Ridge Lakes dumping water on that fire is an expense as well.
Well, very nice to see KDNK DJ and ASYEP teacher Soul Sister Drea Marsh profiled in the paper. She's been putting in a lot of volunteer hours at KDNK as well as paid work for the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. So much of that time helping other DJs of all ages stay connected with our listeners, and it's been a pretty epic effort. I know I've had quite a few volunteer DJs who are not currently allowed in the building say, how come Drea gets to be there? It's they're all jealous of her, but she's putting in a ton of time and almost all of it volunteers because she is a paid teacher for ASYEP. The essential nature of our news media here, we've interpreted to mean people that are paid can be in the doors and volunteers cannot for the moment. But we are going to try to work on some sort of reopening here soon. And I've been in touch with Garfield County Public Health about that. It was also nice to learn some more things about Drea in the piece by Kate Phillips in today's paper.
Yeah, I learned some stuff that I didn't know, although, my family is in that piece as well. I've known Drea pretty much my whole life as a result of her being an assistant to my brother when I was young. I didn't do the story. I gave it to Kate because I thought it might be a bit of a conflict of interest, but that she pulled out stuff I didn't know. And certainly the impetus was how much she's been on KDNK, those marathon sessions.
Yeah.
Seems like every time I turn on the radio, I hear her voice. And then I turn it on 4 hours later and hear her voice again. So
she has pulled some 8-hour Sundays, which is heroic for sure. Well, my guest is Will Granbaugh, editor of the Soper Sun, Carbondale's nonprofit weekly newspaper, online at sopersun.com. And honestly, better and better and better all the time in terms of the web presence and just a great website, which was, I believe, an award-winning website last year.
3 years in a row now, actually.
Okay, well, the big reason I invited Will on the show today is because we want to celebrate the Soper Sun's latest awards. Before we get there, catch us up on what is the Colorado Press Association and what was supposed to happen before all this coronavirus happened.
Yeah, so the Colorado Press Association is just, as it sounds, an organization of local newspapers around the state. It's been operating for quite some time. My mother tells me about the days in the 70s when they would go down to the Brown Palace to accept similar awards. I'm actually on the board and was in the process of helping to set up the convention, which was going to be in Glenwood Springs for the first time, which was a great concept. I loved the idea that we'd be not having to book travel or lodging and would sort of get to show ourselves off just down the road there. But obviously that didn't happen. It was slated for a date that was very much within the quarantine realm. And so what happened instead was getting together with a few newspapers on the Western Slope that we have a bit of a connection with and going through each of our awards one by one there were aspects to that that were actually maybe better. I really enjoyed getting to explore the story behind each of those awards, whereas at the big event together,
it's more of a blur.
It's just kind of a list of awards.
Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, so we got to list the awards. So, graphic designers, ad sales person. Tell us who some of these big winners from the Soap or Sun were this year.
Yeah, so I would say Elise Golden, our graphic designer, probably was the biggest winner. She had shared fourth place with Todd Chamberlain for a couple of our advertising manager for a couple of ads, as well as one with our previous ad manager, Cal Fabian, and a feature page design that we had collaborated on. Sue Rollison, our freelance photographer, who's been shooting for the paper for quite some time on a sports end, branched out last summer and did a rodeo piece that earned a top photo page credit. And Megan, who I think most listeners, Megan Tackett, probably know, either through The Sun, KD&K, or the Aspen Daily News, took one for an agricultural story. And then I guess I had a few of my own. I got first place for a health story award for a piece on the Spanish flu, of all things, which would not have been so topical when the voting was going on, but certainly was ironic when I was not able to accept that award in person because of COVID-19. And I also got a multimedia award second for Burger Contest. I'm hoping to submit for the same award if it's still around next year for our taco contest, which I think was even maybe an improvement on that.
Oh,
and once again, top website in our category.
Both delicious stories. And best website. So congrats to Soap or Sun and Footsteps Marketing, of course, who both of our organizations partner with. And we only just have a couple minutes left. I really appreciate
And you got to tell us about your awards, I think.
Oh, thanks, Will. Yeah, we only have a couple minutes left, but I really appreciate you joining me. We, KD&K, just won two Murrows. These are the regional Edward R. Murrow Awards from the Radio, Television, Digital News Association. And this is a big deal for us because KD&K competes, even though it's considered small region or small market, we compete against, you know, Arizona Public Media in Tucson, KUNC in Greeley, Laramie's Wyoming Public Radio. So bigger budget organizations that all do a good job. And those are all, you know, not really community-based. They're all big budget, you know, kind of more top-down structure. So really exciting for us to be in the league with those folks. And our newscast, and to my surprise, was how much everyone loves Steve Cole in the mornings. It was actually an afternoon newscast that won Best Newscast for our region of five states. And this was hosted by Lucas Turner, who he and Amy Marsh wrote the headlines. And then featured a story that Amy did, as well as a story from Scott Franz, our Capitol coverage reporter at the State House. So really exciting to win Best Newscast, again, competing against stations we really respect. And then also Nick Eisenberg, who has been profiled in the Soap or Sun, his program, The Tactile Traveler, which is now 6 months running on KD&K, just won for Best Podcast in the region. So really exciting for that program. And for Nick, because we're hoping that these big awards from the Colorado Broadcasters Association and from the Murrows will help us as we try to raise some more funds and apply for grants to be able to keep exploring and developing the Tactile Traveler as something that we think can really serve, you know, people who are blind or low vision, as well as the rest of us, you know, kind of help us see the world differently. So really exciting credit to our news department, and for those who don't know, Lucas Turner has just been promoted again to news and program director, and Amy Marsh is back to a full-time reporting role here and doing more on the newscast than ever. So big, exciting development for us is the ability to bring Kathleen Shannon on as a contributor on the payroll. And so for Kathleen Shannon, you're going to see her on the cover of today's Soap or Sun and also hear her hosting All Things Considered in about half an hour.